You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Yasmin Kobanoglu and Tammy Habteus. The producer is Ray Bodwell, and our engineer is David Casters. The interim director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Lisa Loving. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available at our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM. And K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Emily Gresham Beamer.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Voices from the Edge with Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. At 9, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, Fight the Empire dives further into the Mueller report and looks at the current crisis in Venezuela. At 10, it's The Heather McCoy Show. Heather welcomes the Washington editor of The Intercept, Ryan Grimm, to talk about the recent Politico profile of The Intercept and his forthcoming book on Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with Meg Vogt, author of the new book of photographs and poems, MYKU, My Portland. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk with Patricia Welch, O.B. Hill, and Emma Jackson Ford. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO with news from your community radio station.
Hey everybody, it is Mike Crenshaw and you are tuned in to News from the Boo. Like my comrade Monica said, news from in and around KBOO community. And I've got a very special guest with me tonight, live in studio, my man Miles Megasife.
Peace What's and up? Love, y'all.
Peace and love, brother.
What's up, Mike Crenshaw?
Man, we've been talking online for a minute now. A couple years, right? A
couple years, yeah. It's great to finally meet you, man.
Good to finally meet you. So, you're a hip-hop artist?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was put in touch with you by comrade Dan Shea from Veterans for Peace.
Good people.
Yeah, man. So, why don't we get into a conversation about your music?
Dope.
And how the consciousness of your art might intersect with the work you do.
I love it. Sounds good to me. Yeah, so, you got a good vibration, brother.
Thank you, brother, as well. I feel like I'm talking to family. Like, literally, when I sat down, I'm like, oh, this...
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, man.
It's organic.
For sure. So how long have you been an MC, bro?
I've been rapping since I was 13, bro.
Okay.
And, you know, in high school, lunch table, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then in the Marine Corps, I was taught how to format my poetry into bars.
You know what? I actually, as a teaching artist,
okay,
because I've been rhyming since I was a shorty.
Okay.
And as an adult, some of the work I do is going into schools and teaching kids that exact thing.
Yeah.
Can you share with us how you... What was that process like, technically? Like, how did it go?
Technically. So the easiest way for me to say technically is he taught me syllable count.
Whoa.
Yeah, he taught me, You know, he taught me time signature, right? Mm-hmm. So you listen to the beat, you feel the beat out. And I do it, I teach as well, but I do it mm-hmm. all through feeling. You know, I haven't created a formatted hardcore pedagogy, you know what I'm saying, which I need to do. But I listen to the beat and I feel out the count, whether it's a 3-4 or 4-4 or 5-7, whatever the count is. And then I usually start freestyling to it a little bit, flowing.
Yeah.
But I feel out the what feels like a good line, and sometimes I'll go so far as to count out the syllables. Mm-hmm. You know, of that line, and then I kind of play with, well, this is a good count, right, in this range, you mm-hmm. know. It fills up the bar nicely, stuff like that. And so he taught me to break down my rhymes on paper so that they look the same way every time, so that mm-hmm. when I come back to it, I can remember mm-hmm. what the flow was, because I was just writing big pages of prose, essentially, you know, and wow. I'd come back to the flow and I wouldn't have any idea what it was.
Allow me to elaborate a little for our listeners who might not be hip-hop heads. So for us, when we say bars, it's a little bit of shop talk. A lot of people don't know what bars are. Bars are the words that fit inside of the measure, and if the measure is four count, if the time signature is 4-4, the beat could go four counts inside of a measure. So a measure could be like boom, boom, clack, boom, 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 clack. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom, boom, clack, boom, boom, clack. So the boom, boom, clack, the boom, the boom, clack is the beat. Science. The time signature is the count of the tempo of the beat. And if we put words in that space, that becomes a bar.
Exactly.
Do you still write on paper, or are you a digital writer?
I'm a digital writer now.
Me too.
Started a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I felt good about it. I saved paper. So I'm saving the environment. I'm saving trees. And it's just, I've always got my phone with me. I don't always have that notebook with me.
Yeah. I used to write by hand and have trouble counting bars. I remember when people used to ask me, it was some of the musicians I work with, they'd be like, dude, how many measures is your verse? And I would get embarrassed, and I'd try to like conceal my embarrassment over my ignorance. But finally, I was in a group called Cleveland Steamers with my homeboy, Generic, and he said, look, man, if you can't figure out how to say what you have to say in 16 bars, then maybe you shouldn't be saying it.
That's a good point.
And it kind of stung, mm-hmm. but I taught myself how to write in a bar format and limit the amount of time I force people to check the lyrics. That said, I found that digital writing in a phone or on a computer, it helps me to break, when I hit return,
right,
it helps me to break it up and format it more symmetrically.
Yeah, definitely. I also so now you got into something else about short attention spans, really. Yeah. And I kind of feel two ways about it. I don't like playing the game of we were just talking about playing games, mm-hmm. but I don't like playing the game of feeding into the short attention span mm-hmm. and giving music that is, you know, that's dumbed down.
Yeah.
At the same time, that's where people are, and you kind of got to feed them what they're ready for.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to mask it. I agree with, if you can't say it in 16, maybe it doesn't need to be said. Mm-hmm. I used to go on, I have a song called 72 Bars, where there's no hooks, you know, it's just 72 bars. And it's like 5.5 verses, you know.
Wow.
People can't pay attention for that long, mm-hmm. you know, but heads do, heads will.
Heads
you got to kind of feed them into, you know, lead them in slowly.
I've heard kids say in recent years, it's too rappy. It's too lyrical. Whereas from our uh-huh. generation, being too lyrical was what you were
it's
wanted
a good
to
thing.
Be.
I say that now to folks when people say, what kind of music is it? I say it's rappity rap.
Yeah, that's what I say too.
Because I play it up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, when my wife is like, what's the show going to be like tonight? I'll say, if there's too many artists on the bill, I'll say it's going to be a rappity rap show.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the headliner, you're going to be tired. So this is a note to all you promoters out there. When you book hip hop shows, you know, we have a whole year to work with. You don't have to put every artist on the bill, because people will get tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would even say promoters go outside the box and like mix up genres, man.
Please do.
Yeah, stop booking all hip hop artists.
Dude, and especially if it's all male rappers.
Yeah, come on,
man.
You know you got women in the community. Get some neo soul up there. Get some female rappers. Get some get pop artists in there too, yo. There's some dope pop music out there.
Multi ethnic, you know, everything, man. Come on. Let's be as diverse as. When I walk out on the street, I see all kinds of people, you know. So our cultural events should reflect that.
And I make all types of music, right? I'm sure you make all types of music.
I love all types, and I mess with rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mess with jazz, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. And all sorts of songs, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we're painted, black men especially are painted as one sided in our society. We gotta be drug dealers, mm-hmm. we gotta be pimps, mm-hmm. we gotta be womanizers, you gotta fit one of the molds that's safe for well, that used to be the case, that, you know, you had to fit one of these molds that was safe for society to approach you, right?
Right. Which is ironic.
Yeah.
Because exactly. It's a very dangerous identity to assume.
Yeah.
Because it makes you a target.
But it makes you more palatable than the intelligent black man or the, you know, they call me the angry black man, right? If I'm talking about politics and I'm talking about the justice for the ancestors and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then people quick to label you. But I own it nowadays. I'm happy of it. You know, I'm happy about it. I'll tell you quickly. This is rapidy rap. This is conscious music. Mm-hmm. You know, this is woke black music. Right. Whatever you want to say. You know what I'm saying? Woke hip hop.
So Miles, where are you from?
I was born in White Plains and raised in Brooklyn, New York, by a single mom.
White Plains. My man Beans had this song about catching the train to White Plains.
Mm-hmm.
Beans from Anti-Pop Consortium.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of his solo albums.
Dope.
I ain't heard from Beans in a while. But so then you're on a national tour right now?
Yeah, self-booked national tour. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like a childhood dream, honestly.
Okay.
I am been married 16 years mm-hmm. and whirlwind, beautiful marriage. We're happily married right now. And ever since my wife and I've been together, I've been making music. Mm-hmm. And so now we have the means for me to get out on the road and do it. Mm-hmm. And I was gonna come on this tour with two other artists, but life got in the way at the last minute for both of them.
Okay.
Death, actually, for one, for my older brother, his mom passed away.
Okay.
And they couldn't come with me, and everything was laid out, and I reached out to a couple other people to try to get folks on board, but nobody, you know, it's 5 weeks I've been out here.
Man.
Or next week we'll make it 5 weeks.
How many cities you've been to thus far?
Eight. And so this is not city 9, and then Tacoma is city 10.
And then you're done?
And then I'm done. I was trying to get 15 mm-hmm. in a month. I got 10. I got 10 cities booked. One city, Albuquerque, ended up falling through altogether.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the show. But all in all, the shows have been great.
Mm-hmm.
They've been booked by local promoters, and so for the most part, it was up to the promoter bringing mm-hmm. people. And I was playing to their audience,
right?
You know, which was a great deal. In a couple of cities, there's no built-in promoters, so I had to pay like bar covers myself and do the promotion myself. Like in New York,
I was
in
Brooklyn, selling tickets and stuff.
In Brooklyn, at the Well, I broke even.
Okay,
which was cool. A couple other cities I had to do that at, and didn't break even. Like mm-hmm. in Kansas City, they got a great hip-hop market.
Yeah.
So I had to do a door cover there, mm-hmm. but had a great stage show. Right. You know, that's how it all balances out, and reached a lot of new people.
So when you show up on stage, are you DJing yourself? What are you using to?
Yeah. Right now it's I give my music to the DJ.
Yeah.
The house had a DJ in Kansas City, and somehow in some cities they have a DJ, and so they get my music, and I work with them like as if they were my own DJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to broaden it a little bit, deepen it a little bit. You spent some time in the Marine Corps.
Yes.
And I met you through a comrade for Veterans for Peace. So if we look at the current situation, right, there's so much we can talk about.
Yeah.
We got 18 to 22 veterans committed suicide daily.
Every day.
We got the recruiters in the high schools going yes. after the young people.
Yeah.
We got covert and overt war is happening globally. We got
it. 17 years, yeah. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, I was just, you know, but so where does your consciousness coming from having lived a life in service to empire versus being a black person opposed to systems of oppression on earth? Can you speak on that?
Yes. I feel I'm very well equipped to speak on that because I've lived it.
Okay.
So, you know, having been in the Marine Corps for 4 years gives me all the right in the world to talk about the Marine Corps because I've been in it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. I've lived it. I made it through boot camp. I served in the fleet for 3 years after boot camp, you know, 3.5 years. And I was discharged other than honorably for smoking cannabis, which I was introduced to in the Marine Corps.
Right.
And I was discharged at a time in 1996 when Bill Clinton was cutting the military.
Okay.
That's how he saved money on the U.S. budget, was by cutting personnel numbers, not by, not by, you know, stopping the construction of new weapons.
Right.
Right. He didn't save money by stopping the F-16s from getting built, or the F-25, or the, you know what I'm saying, or any big bombs or missiles. He did it by cutting personnel. And so for things that don't normally get you kicked out, so I did 3.5 years. I did a month in the brig before getting kicked out, and then 3 months with a boot platoon, and went home with an other than honorable, no VA loan, no GI bill.
Dang, so you're not even taken care of.
Not taken care of. Don't have, all I have is my DD-214. And I found out recently.
What is that?
It's my discharge papers.
Okay.
It just states the level of my discharge and my service and stuff.
Right.
The medals I had, whatever. Right. I found out recently that I could get a VA card and have health care. Which is something that I am going to look into.
Okay.
You know, the VA is a good model for healthcare for the country.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Except that it's kind of underfunded and struggles.
Okay.
Right? So it's like one of those government programs that the government isn't funding as well as it should.
That's right? So crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. The intersection. Yeah. My son, Tafari, my oldest son, was 8 months old when I wrote my album Civil I Am. And so my son made me wake up to the need of me using my voice politically. Before that, I was just making music, which was always political, but I was just making music trying to get into the so-called you know, normal world of hip-hop. And now I realize that my music is more geared, even though it's hip-hop, it's more geared towards the activist world.
Okay.
Right, because there's activists who are hip-hoppers.
Right.
And people who are interested in political change that are hip-hoppers. So those are, that's my tribe. That's my audience right there. Rather than people who are into escapism and going to nightclubs and, you know, spending massive amounts of money on champagne and internet models. You know, that's not my audience.
Word.
So
where there's a song we're going to introduce in a minute. It talks about Okinawa.
Yes.
And the struggle there. So you were stationed in Okinawa yourself?
Yes, I was stationed on Camp Schwab in 1994, 1995.
Okay.
There was a 12-year-old girl who was raped by two Marines and one sailor. The Marines were from my base.
Wow.
Camp Schwab. We were locked down for a few weeks after the incident. But then, honestly, things went back to normal. And normal for us Marines and Navy and Army and Airmen. I don't know if there were any Army on the I guess there must have been. There's like 15 bases in Okinawa. 32 bases, I'm sorry, taking up 15% taking up 15% of the landmass of the Big Island, and the people overwhelmingly, it's a democracy. The people overwhelmingly vote to get those bases off. But the U.S. military and the Japanese government both ignore the wishes of the people continuously.
Yeah.
And the bases continue. And they're building a new base, which is destroying coral reef. And it's, I mean, it's in a bay. And the ground underneath where they're trying to build it is so soft that they're having problems. And they're still going ahead with it, even though it's like the people don't want it. And it's a
You know what trips me out often? The amount of willful ignorance that seems to be inextricably linked to empire. Ignorance about the health. And the science is there.
Yeah.
The information is there, but there's this willfully, like, we're going to totally ignore the fact that what we're doing is destructive.
To
all life.
You're talking about the powers that be.
Yeah.
Because it's not the people that
want
to be...
They don't want
The people
that.
Don't want to be destructive.
No. I talked to two hopeful... I've got two high school students that are hopeful Marine recruits.
Mm.
And it's hard because I know, like, we were just talking today. I know that they hear the rhetoric all the time from everyone that loves them. Not everyone, because some of their family is military, right? They can tell you about people they know who have severe PTSD, but they're still willing to forego that, again, willful ignorance, because they believe that there is a degree of stability that will be provided them that they cannot get anywhere else.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like stepping into a fire to roast a marshmallow.
Excuse me.
It is, man.
That was an awesome metaphor. and you know what sucks?
Mm.
Is like, we can laugh about this, but it's literally deadly serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're at war, and you're going, if you're joining the Marine Corps of all forces right now, you're choosing to go, you're going to see action.
Yeah.
You're choosing to go and fire a gun at somebody and have them fired at you. You know what I'm saying?
I had another conversation with some of my youth, and myself and the other co-teacher, Ursula, you know, we said, we had a check-in question, what would you do if you could do anything and get paid to do it? And two of my students said kill. So, you know, I was aware of the fact that the idea of being able to get away with murder is appealing to young people who have some issues. What do we do with this? Like, with your role as a veteran who knows, because you've lived it, what is it that you contribute, or how do you contribute your knowledge to the...
Music like this, music like Nucci Du Takara.
Okay.
Music like Nucci Du Takara, music like Ayo Chinapa. I make songs that address these issues directly, and I make them at a frequency that is appealing. So it sounds good, right?
Hey, say no more. Why don't you introduce the song, and then I got our engineer queued up.
This record is titled Nucci Du Takara. It means All Life is Precious, produced by James Data and written by Miles Megasife.
We show you all life is precious. We show you all life is a treasure. We who stand against the oppressors. We are the dreamers. We are the resistance. From Naha to Nago, from Takai to Hanoko Bay. Long before America was born, this became the Ryukyu Nation, predating by more than 400 years imperialist Japanese annexation. Then U.S. offensives came to fight and kill, and this island was taken in the Battle of Okinawa, away from the country of the rising sun. Now busting big guns is still done, often makes civilians anxious. This situation simply one of ethnic oppression, let's just face it. For the seven generations coming, their views and imaginations, and all the lives unnecessarily taken opposing these occupations. Nucci Du Takara, Nucci Du Takara. No nuke for Tema, Hanoko Bay feeds us. Nucci Du Takara, Nucci Du Takara. Any means you measure, Okinawa is all together. Nucci Du Takara, Nucci Du Takara. All life is a treasure, let's say all life is precious. Nucci Du Takara, Nucci Du Takara. Shut them down forever, shut these bases down forever. It's a matter of human rights. rights over humiliation. Hence the daily demonstrations and colorful cloth placements. The power and peace represented in the perseverance and the pushback against the rampant militarization. From the northern training area down past Camp Hansen, for all the noise and harassment and Ospreys crashing, the illegal land grabs and American embarrassments, and the 12-year-old raped in 9-5 with no answer. Nucci do takara, Nucci do takara, no nuke for Tema, Anongo Bay feeds us. Nucci do takara, Nucci do takara, any means you measure. Okinawa is all together. Nucci do takara, Nucci do takara, all life is a treasure. Let's say all life is precious. Nucci do takara, Nucci do takara, shut them down forever. Shut these bases down forever. Yeah, I was stationed on Camp Schwab in 9-5, and I remember our presence impeded a normal life. I mean, on the island, Marines relax by fucking wildin'. Come on, drinking and fighting is our way of socializing. So now I work at vocalizing the way I feel properly. I mean, now that I am no longer government property, I hope and pray it's not impolite of me to say this. I'm truly sorry for my service. It meant your freedom's waited.
Thank you, brother.
Miles Megasife with the joint. So, again, what's the name of the cut?
The joint is called Nucci do Takara, and there's a video for it on YouTube. We shot the video in Okinawa. I got arrested in Okinawa for protesting. I threw myself under a dump truck.
And man,
they charged me with obstructing traffic. They let me out. I was very fortunate. I got a day and a half in jail.
So, Okinawan police, not United States military police?
Okinawan police, yeah. Yeah, because it was on the street of that goes into the base. It wasn't on the base.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the title, is that in Japanese or is that an indigenous language to Okinawa?
That's an indigenous Nucci do Takara is an Okinawan indigenous language. They're the Ryukyu kingdom. R-Y-U-K-Y-U, Ryukyu kingdom. And they were that before Japan annexed them in 1429, I believe it was. Japan annexed them. They were a completely independent nation. They were a trading partner with China and like Korea and the region at the time. They were a very powerful nation.
Wow. Do you, how far is Okinawa from the mainland?
It's 1,000 miles southeast from the Japanese mainland. It's a totally different, they're different people.
Yeah.
You know?
For those of us who've never been, it's hard for us to imagine.
Yeah.
Because we like to generalize everything.
As the same,
as
right?
As the same. Especially with Asia, I feel like that happens. People call people who are Chinese, Japanese, and vice versa.
And it's really bad to do stuff like that. Yeah. And it's bad to like bow to people like just because they're Asian and stuff like that.
Right.
But people do it. I mean, we've all got our own internal biases.
Yeah.
You know? But yo, the Okinawan people have the most centenarians on the planet too. They have really.
Wow. Yeah, I heard some of their quality of life is on point.
Super healthy. They eat really well. They stay active all through life. They're really inspiring. And we were locked arm in arm with these folks. They protest every day. They've been protesting every day for more than 50 years now to get U.S. military bases off of their island. Imagine that.
Yeah, that's the inspiring. You know, that's the thing. Like, if we just look at the darkness of it all, it can be very
overwhelming.
Overwhelming.
Daunting. Yeah.
But then when you see the light.
Bro.
And people who are like, well, you know, in spite of this darkness, in the face of this, I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've really quickly, if I could say one last thing, on this drive around the country, I have been inspired continuously. People have put me up in their homes. They've fed me. They've asked about the travels and asked about, and they've said, thank you for doing this. Like, and they want to change. People want change.
People want change.
People are ready for change. People want change. And, they're hopeful for change. Yeah, they're working towards it too.
Hey, well, thank you for coming and blessing us here in Portland. We were talking next spring. We're going to see you again.
Most definitely.
when people who are listening want to find you online, where, how do they spell your name? Where can they find your music?
My name is Big Cypher. It's MEGACIPH, Mega Cyph. Mega Cyph, and that's megacyph.com. And my YouTube is Miles Mega Cyph, MILESMEGACIPH. You can find me there. You can also find me everywhere else as Mega Cyph, but I'm most active nowadays with my YouTube and actual emails to people.
Okay.
Subscribe to my website.
Well, welcome to P-Town, and thank you for stopping by, Kabu.
Thank you, brother. Much love, man.
Peace.
Much love and respect.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please join us.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Dutch Society's 5th Annual Classical Musicians of Holland Concert, Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 at the Old Church Concert Hall in Portland. The Classical Musicians of Holland concert features young musicians on tour from the Netherlands performing music for violin, piano, and trombone by Debussy, Rachmaninoff, Chopin, Tchaikovsky, and Mozart. The concert is hosted by Robert McBride. Again, that's the Portland Dutch Society's 5th Annual Classical Musicians of Holland concert, Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at theoldchurch.org.
Good evening. You are listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KABU member listeners and support from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven natural foods cooperative open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.